Good morning.
If you could turn to the first epistle of John, that would be great. John's first epistle, we're going to be right in chapter 1. Today, we're going to be looking at forgiveness and reconciliation. This morning, we're going to talk about that and how that fits into the life, into our lives between us and God. That's where we're going to go this morning. And then, Lord willing, this afternoon, we'll talk about how then we deal with forgiveness and reconciliation with each other. And so that's what we're going to look at today. This morning, we're in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to start reading at verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is a great little passage here as it opens up John's first epistle, and it deals directly with what forgiveness is as far as the life of the believer goes and between us and God. So when we talk about forgiveness and reconciliation, I would say that they are two sides of the same coin. You really can't have one without the other. There's no reconciliation without forgiveness, and there's no forgiveness without reconciliation. They are, in essence, the same thing. And so if we think about it, what we must really do is seek reconciliation and forgiveness when we need to, which in our relationship with God. And so if we look at how this passage begins, we come to understand the role that forgiveness plays in the life of the believer. We find that forgiveness is about fellowship. In the beginning of this chapter, John writes and he says that these are written, these things that he is writing, we write to you that your joy may be full, and he has tied that to the idea that we have fellowship with God. And so the idea here is that fellowship, this is what forgiveness is about. Fellowship is tied to joy in our lives. So fellowship, for one thing, is not relationship. And this is something that we need to really understand. Relationship with God is permanent. In the moment that we believe, we are called the sons of God. We are the children of God. And that relationship is permanent. It doesn't change. God has saved us. It is through the person and work of Christ alone. And we are saved. Romans 3:22-24 says, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." And through the person and work of Christ, we are justified. In essence, that's like standing before a judge, and that judge says that we are righteous. We are declared righteous. And that is through what Christ has done. Fellowship, if we think of it this way, we have a relationship with God as his children through the work of Christ. Fellowship is how close that relationship is. How close are we to God? That's our fellowship. And what John is going to tell us throughout this epistle is that there are things that come between us and God in our fellowship with him. And for us today, as we look at this, we're going to start with what he begins with, which is sin. And so if fellowship is supposed to lead to joy, then it comes through obedience. And this is how we see these first verses helping us to see that. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So if we say, you know, I'm close to God. If I say to you, I'm close to God, I'm very, very close to God, and yet my life is one that is spent, you know, pursuing sinful things, you can safely say, nah, he's probably not that close to God. Because sin comes between us and God. That's the thing. If we have fellowship with God, it is because, as John tells us, we walk in the light. So we act in a way that is like his character. And so when we do not do that, when we sin, our fellowship with God is broken. And of course, we need to restore that fellowship. And that's where forgiveness and reconciliation comes in. And so it's important that we understand why this occurs. But let's begin first with that most important distinction. When we speak of justification and forgiveness, they are two different things. Justification happens once. In the moment that we believe, we are justified. And in the moment that we believe, we are also forgiven. We are forgiven for all the sins that we have committed up to that point. That's what the Bible tells us. And so this morning, if you have yet to put your faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, you need not only forgiveness, but justification. You are not in a right standing with God. You have no relationship with God. And so first, you would need to put your faith in him. John 20, verse 31 says that these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And so if we think about it this way, relationship comes through faith. So relationship comes through faith and leads to life. Fellowship comes through obedience and leads to joy. And that's the setup that we have here as we begin this section, that how close we are to God, the joy that we have in our relationship with God is based on our obedience, the way we walk, the way we live. And the more we live in a way that is glorifying to God, in obedience to him, the greater the joy we have. And God wants us to have the greatest possible joy. Verse 4 says that your joy may be full, maximum joy, the greatest amount of joy that you can have. That's what God wants for our Christian lives. But you see, the issue that we have is that we sin. And sin is a problem. Because sin is something that is entirely against God. When we think about what Peter says in the first chapter of his first epistle, 1 Peter 1:15 to 16, he says, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" God is holy. This is one of the defining characteristics of who he is. And therefore, when we think of what good is, this is not a set of rules that God just made up. It's not a set of rules that somehow God himself must follow. No, good is who God is. It's his character. That's why this passage can say that with God, he is light and there is no darkness in him. Because God himself is good. And therefore, what good is simply acting in accordance with the character of God. When we sin, we are essentially saying, God, I don't like who you are, and I'm going to do something different.
I don't want to be like you. And so when we commit sin, well, it's personal. It's personal. And that's why we need forgiveness, because forgiveness is personal. And the Bible tells us that we'll sin. That's what John's saying here. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we lie. And the truth is not in us. And so when we think of how this works, it's important to understand why these distinctions are so, so vital to us. In the moment that we believe, we are declared righteous. Ephesians 1 tells us that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. That we can know that we have eternal life. And this is an important thing for us to understand, because it's easy for us to really feel like there's nothing that God desires in us when we sin. And we can feel horrible about what we do. We can feel like maybe we let him down just so often. Why would he want to have us, you know, as part of his family? You know, maybe, you know, God is going to be, you know, okay, that's one time too many. You know, I'm done with you. And while we may know that, often we don't really feel that. We feel that opposite thing where we feel like maybe God is going to be done with us. But what we understand is that we are sealed by God. Our salvation isn't thankfully based on us, because if it were, then we would have no hope. It is based on the person and the work of Christ and on the promises of God. And the Bible tells us God cannot lie. And yet we sin. And I would submit that we sin much more than we would ever like to think about. Sin is a habit very, very difficult to break. And we do it so often. And God knows that that's what we're going to do. It doesn't make it okay. Because when we sin, it is still an attack on God. But we will sin. And if we do not admit that, then we're lying. Has to be my wife.
It's your own wife. She's sorry.
I'm not going to say a thing. So, I need a minute. Hold on. So my wife and I have been married for 20 years. We celebrated our anniversary in November. I feel like finally she's gotten me back.
A week after we got married,
I was preaching. Not a week after we got married, it was 2 weeks after, because we went on our honeymoon, we came home from our honeymoon, and on the Sunday I was speaking twice at Scott Lee. And I may have called her out from the platform, and, you know, a mistake, of course, that a newlywed would make, and I would never do now. Speaking of forgiveness and reconciliation. When we sin, we break our fellowship with God. And if we think of the notion that we are children of God, it tells us a couple of things. The Bible picks, right, God picks this analogy with a purpose. As children of God, we cannot ever not become children of God. Right? Growing up, I'm sure there were times my parents wished they could that I wasn't their kid. But I am. Because it doesn't change. I mean, DNA, right? Doesn't change. And so when we think of that, when I would disobey my parents, I was not
suddenly not their child. But at the same time, we weren't exactly getting along very well at the time. Something had come between us. And so I would say that the relationship with my parents, of course, could not change. But my fellowship with my parents was in deep trouble. And so as a result, there had to be a way for me to be able to restore that fellowship with my parents and hopefully make sure I wasn't grounded for nearly as long. And so this is where I would go to them and I would ask for their forgiveness. I would acknowledge what I had done. I would ask for their forgiveness and they would forgive me and generally not change the punishment because they were good parents. So when we look at this, this is exactly how it is set up here. In 1 John 1:9, this is what we read. If we confess our sins. See, this is key. When we sin, we have to go to God and confess that sin. Because we have attacked God's character. We have offended God. And so the first step is confession, an acknowledgement of that sin. If you look at the verse, it is in essence an if this, then that statement. It's conditional. If this happens, then that happens. And so we must confess our sins. We can't try to sweep it under the rug. We can't hope God forgets about it. We can't believe that God maybe didn't notice. Our fellowship with God is broken, and we have to confess that sin. We have to admit to Him that we sinned, that we offended Him, that we disobeyed Him. But the beauty of what it says here is this. The second half is that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love that statement that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. See, there's something very, very important for us to understand here, something that we can hold to and that can always bring us joy and hope as we think of it. You see, it says that God is faithful. Faithful. You see, God can never be unfaithful. God cannot lie. If God says that He will forgive our sins, He will forgive our sins. Because He is faithful. We know that if we confess, He will always forgive. Always forgive. And He is just. See, this one is amazing if you think about it. It isn't an offense to God's holiness to forgive our sins because once we have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been declared righteous. And therefore, the sacrifice of Christ has paid for those sins. And therefore, it is a just thing for God to forgive us. It does not betray His holiness in any way. Indeed, it is a perfect outworking of that holiness and His goodness, His grace, and His love. How often have we thought to ourselves, you know, oh yeah, this is it. I mean, there's no way God's going to want me back this time. This time I've messed up too much. Whatever it is I've done, this is the worst, maybe in a long line of things that seem to always be the worst. This time God is finished with me. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If you think that, realize that that's not true. God will forgive when we confess. And if you're struggling with that, know this, that God will forgive. He is ready, willing, able to forgive. He wants to forgive. He wants us to turn back to Him. He wants you to turn back to Him, to confess, and to be drawn near. Because you see, this is the key when we talk about fellowship. Because fellowship means when we break that fellowship and sin, when God forgives us, there is reconciliation. He draws us back to Him and brings us close to Him again. There's no time where we're in the spiritual doghouse where God is saying, yeah, I know, no, I forgive you, but I'm going to hold on to that for a while and I'm going to keep you at arm's length until I decide if I feel like bringing you back. That's not forgiveness. God's forgiveness is reconciling us back to Him, restoring that fellowship, drawing us near to Him. And when we sin and break that fellowship, it of course robs us of our joy. And so when we are forgiven and reconciled and drawn to Him, our joy can come back. Because we can know that His forgiveness brings that reconciliation. And so it's so important for us to make sure that we confess and seek His forgiveness. Because it's necessary. The wonderful thing is, of course, on the flip side, God will never do anything against us. God will never fail us. He will never let us down. And so this is always one way. We sin, we confess, He forgives. Never has to go the other way. And that's the beauty of who our God is. And then there's the next section, and it speaks of how He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if you notice, the all in there is the interesting thing. All unrighteousness. Not He will cleanse us from that particular unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. And that's there for a reason. Because the truth of the matter is that sin for us is often so much of a habit that we may not even notice sometimes when we have sinned. Perhaps a wrong thought. Perhaps a harsh word. Something along those lines where we may not even realize that we have sinned. And as a result, we don't know to confess because we are not conscious of it. But as we seek forgiveness and reconciliation with God, and He cleanses us from all unrighteousness, then He also cleanses us of those sins that we are not aware of. And so, as a commentary I like says, each Christian, however, is responsible to acknowledge whatever the light makes him aware of. And when he does so, a complete and perfect cleansing is granted to him. There is thus no need to agonize over sins of which one is unaware. And so, we don't need to worry, oh, is there something I forgot? Do I have to make sure that I confess every single sin that I commit in order to ensure that I have that reconciliation with God? But as we seek to confess our sins, those that we have forgotten are still cleansed because we are still seeking confession and forgiveness and reconciliation with God. And so we don't need to agonize over them. It's easy sometimes, I think, again, to fall into that. And to think, oh, but, if I've forgotten something, then, there can be no forgiveness for that. That doesn't mean if you remember something that you've done that you should say, it's fine. That's not what it means. When we think of a sin that we have committed that we have not confessed, then we still need to confess it. But for those sins that we commit sometimes without really thinking about it, then these are things that are covered. And that's why it's so personal, because we want to be close to Him. We want to be near to Him. And so as we do that, that draws us closer to Him. Now there's also something else that we can think of and apply here, and it is important for us to think of, and we'll go into more detail tonight. But that also speaks to how we forgive one another. See, John makes it clear when he in this epistle, there are three things that can break our fellowship with God. The first one is sin. The second one is not loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. And the third one is conforming to the world, because the world is against God. And to be like the world is to be against God. See, that second one is the one that we're going to pay a little more attention to. In 1 John 4, verse 20, it says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And as we think of that, it tells us that we need to forgive one another too. I mean, that's really why we are going to talk about forgiveness and reconciliation with each other as well, because that's something that we need to pursue, is forgiveness and reconciliation with one another. If God forgives us, then we ought also to forgive one another. You know, Peter came to Jesus in Matthew 18. Of course, you know, Peter asked great questions, right? I mean, once we would, you know, we kind of look down on Peter sometimes, and we should probably realize that he's probably asking questions that we wish we could. And then we think, oh, no, I'm better than that. But we really aren't. Peter says, okay, Lord, so if my brother sins against me, you know, how many times should I forgive him? Seven times? Seven times? Is that reasonable? Seven times? The Jewish law said three. So Peter's being pretty generous here, right? Seven times. Seven times. And Jesus looks at him and he responds, I do not say to you, you know, he says, up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, for those of you who do math quickly, that's 490. And I promise you, if you are trying to count up to 490 because somebody is sinning against you, may I suggest you're not quite getting forgiveness and reconciliation right. Also, good luck. By that point, you're probably going to forget. And you'll be sitting there and it's like, was that 489? Do I have to forgive him one more time? Oh, man. I got to start all over again anyway. I think the point here is that we are supposed to forgive one another all the time. Because remember, God forgives us each time we confess. There is no, okay, so you only get this many times, right? It just says, if we confess, he's faithful and just to forgive. And if we were looking in Colossians 3, we're told, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And so I would say that one of the applications of our understanding of the way our Lord forgives us and draws us near to Him when we sin is that this is indeed the attitude, the behavior, the practice that we should have when it comes to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Forgiveness and reconciliation are key parts of the Christian life. They're vital. They're a part of our salvation when we believe we are both justified and forgiven and reconciled to God. That is what happens at the moment we are saved. They're also a part of our daily Christian lives. Because when we sin, we need to confess that sin, and then we are forgiven by God and restored or reconciled to Him in our fellowship so that we can have joy in our Christian lives. And so these are vital to us. They're exceptionally important. And of course, when we think of our love for one another, forgiveness and reconciliation are necessary so that we may have fellowship with one another and also with God. And so forgiveness must be a key aspect in everything that we do. If this morning, as I already said, if this morning you haven't put your faith in Christ, that's the first step to gain a relationship, to be justified and forgiven and reconciled to God. And then as we live our Christian lives, when we sin and break our fellowship with God so that we are not close to Him, then we confess and He will forgive and He will draw us back to Him. And thus we can and should and will feel the joy that comes with close fellowship with God. I mean, when we think about it, it's fairly straightforward. When there is nothing between us and any of our relationships with others in this life, then we are much happier in those relationships. It only makes sense then that that's how it works in a relationship with God. That when we have nothing between us and God because we have confessed and been reconciled, then we can be happier in that relationship. We will feel joy in that relationship. But when we sin, we won't feel that joy because that has come between us. And that's why we confess our sin. And that's why He will forgive and draw us back to Him. Let's pray. Father and God, thank You for the truth of Your Word and for the grace that You have, that You sent Your Son so that we could be justified, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could have a relationship with You. And Father, we thank You that we can also have joy in our fellowship with You, that we may be close to You. And we pray that when we sin, we will seek forgiveness so that we will be reconciled to You through forgiveness. Father, we thank You again for that grace. We deserve none of this, and yet You give so freely. And so we lift You up and praise You for all that You have done for us, most especially as we pray to You in the name of the One through whom we have justification and forgiveness and reconciliation, through our glorious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.